and off-screen, as she was sandwiched between Reed and Spade. Her nudity was blurred out except for that moment, not that it was needed. She hadn't actually realized how tightly she was pressed between them at the time, and she could have done without the knowledge. She also could have done without the entire world having the knowledge or the visual to go along with it. Her father, however, didn't seem bothered. After asking her the date of the incident, he launched into a discussion with Cooper about all the reasons the officials might have delayed showing it until now. When he finally turned back to her, she caught a flash of the temper she had been bracing for.
"They should be overloaded with content," he snapped. "They shouldn't be sitting on clips for this long because they don't trust that you'll provide them with regular content to air."
He didn't wait for an answer. He just swiveled back to his team, and they continued to discuss her right over the top of her own head. He wrapped up the meeting by standing and gathering everything into his briefcase. The others all immediately scrambled to get their things together and leave the dining room.
"I'll be returning home for the weekends," he told her, "so I'll see you again on Monday. You have 2 days to make something happen for the cameras."
She fixed her gaze down. Torturing someone only works when they aren't asking for it. How do I make something happen? She could feel her father's embarrassment of her pouring out of him.
"Acting dumb doesn't suit you anymore, Isabel."
He held the door open, but mostly blocked the opening.
"We all know what you're doing with the Alpha Boys."
He held up his hand, cutting off the confused question forming on her lips.
"I'm not disappointed. I'm actually impressed. I didn't think you had it in you. And you're playing them perfectly, staying just far enough away to draw them in, to make them fight over you. As I watched you on screen this year, I finally thought, that's my daughter. But you aren't a master at the game yet. You need to listen to me. You need to heed my warning. Do more. People get bored in the blink of an eye around here."
He stepped aside, waving her through.
"Make something happen."
Kian drummed his fingers on his lap, staring at the flickering flames of the fire pit they had set up on the bank of Alpha Lake. He forced a smile as someone shouted over the back of Killian's chair at him. He just assumed it was some sort of drunken birthday greeting, but his mind was elsewhere. If elsewhere was about as tall as his bicep with strawberry blonde hair and an ass that was made for leggings, which was fortunate for her, since she seemed to live in workout clothes. The Sigma was hearing voices. And she was avoiding him, and the others, but not for much longer. Even if the cards hadn't suggested that tonight would be eventful, he would have known it by the fact that even Oscar and Moses had come down from their perch, relocating to one of the picnic tables that had been set up around the lake. They sat on the table, their legs planted on the seat, drinks in their hands as they glared a force field into existence, causing students to stumble away from their non-existent barrier. It had already gotten to the point of causing a few injuries. People were actually walking into the lake just to skirt around the table with a maximum amount of buffering distance between them and the perceived danger. Kian knew that Carter would be involved in whatever happened tonight, because he had pulled her card again. The moon. It never appeared to him in any other capacity anymore, only to signify something to do with her. It was her card now. And it wasn't a good one. The card usually referenced danger, darkness, or deception. He wanted to think that it was warning him about her, but, well, he knew better. There was a reason it kept popping up, over and over, like it was obsessed with her. It was trying to warn her, trying to get to her. He did another sweep of the gathered students before glancing back to Oscar and Moses. Killian was also watching them, a small smile on his lips. Theodore, Elijah, and Gabriel were taking up the other chairs around the fire pit, collectively suffering through the ministrations of their pretend girlfriends. Or at least Theodore was. Elijah and Gabriel just flat-out ignored theirs. At least Elijah was letting Ellis sit on the arm of his chair. James had tried to sit the same way on Gabriel's chair, but he had abruptly slammed his cup down on it to stop her. Now she was perched beside Ellis, their heads bent together as Elijah scowled at their backs and Gabriel scowled at their fronts. Elijah and Gabriel practically existed as a single atom. Coming between them was a bad idea, physically or otherwise. Kian gave it 10 minutes before one of them lost their patience. Probably Gabriel. Nico stumbled out of the dorm with a girl tucked beneath his arm. One of the popular fifth-year betas. A contender for the icon crown. Kian watched them with an eyebrow quirked. "She is definitely not Asian," Killian commented, having traced his stare. Kian smirked. "Maybe he's working his way up to it." "Up to what?" Theodore asked, latching onto their conversation with a desperate look on his face. Wallace was starting to get a little handsy, and he didn't have Gabriel's innate ability to be rude as fuck.
"Who do you think?"
Elijah muttered, staring up at the sky with a bored look.
"Now it's a who?"
Theodore strained away from Wallace and craned his neck to try and find who they were talking about.
"Nico?"
He frowned, standing and accidentally toppling Wallace onto her ass.
"Who's that? Who's he working up to?"
He squinted, no doubt cataloging the small, blonde girl Nico had chosen.
"That's not fucking funny."
He leveled a glare at Kian before helping Wallace up, but he didn't reclaim his seat. He scrubbed the back of his neck, glancing around for an escape.
"Let's go find better drinks,"
Elijah muttered, coming to his rescue. Gabriel stood, and the three of them escaped into the dorm. Oscar and Moses tracked them with bored eyes, assessing whether they were giving up on the party or not. Kian pulled out his phone, losing patience. But as he hovered over her name, he realized he had nothing to say.
"It's my birthday. Get your ass over here."
They weren't even friends. He didn't even want her company. He stood with a disgusted sound, shoving his phone away again.
"Bathroom,"
he muttered to Killian, stalking off toward the dorm. Isabel checked herself in the mirror again, running her hands over the pale blue bodice of the dress Killian had gifted her. Eve had helped her stitch it up, and she had miraculously cleaned away the bloodstains from Crow's assault in the chapel. "I'm so glad this was in my sewing box this weekend instead of with your other clothes," Eve commented, playing with the hem of the short skirt. "Killian bought this, which means Killian touched this, which means it must be protected and preserved at all costs." Isabel laughed, but the trepidation still settled in her stomach. It was Sunday, her last chance to make something happen, and her only chance to fulfill the favor Sato had demanded of her. "Come on!" Eve tugged her hand, trying to drag her out of the bathroom. Not for the first time that night. "We're going to miss the party at this point."
"Please, just go ahead of me,"
Isabel begged.
"I haven't finished my hair."
"Are you sure?"
Eve pouted, glancing at the door. Isabel had already delayed her.
"Yes, go."
Isabel flashed her a smile, pushing her to the doorway before turning back to the mirror. She reached for the curling iron just so that she would have something to do, but her vision grew blurry before she could touch it, and a sudden flash of light burned into her retinas.
"Crap,"
she muttered, a second before the bathroom blinked out of existence and she found herself sandwiched between two hard surfaces. The kitchen island on the rooftop of Dorm A was pressing into her ribcage, while something else wedged into her spine. Theodore, Reed, and Spade were on the other side of the island, staring at her like they thought they were hallucinating. Theodore glanced into his cup and then back up at her, his mouth opening and closing. She heard a rumbling sound behind her, and two jean-clad thighs suddenly pressed into her sides, trapping her. Someone was sitting on a kitchen stool right behind her, and judging by the dusky golden skin peeking out through a tear in his jeans, it was Ashford.
"Sorry,"
she squeaked, eyes wide on Theodore. She worked to lower her voice, wary of the camera facing the rest of the rooftop despite the party noise below.
"I keep teleporting here because it's where I died."
She felt Ashford's touch against her shoulder blades, shifting her hair over to one side of her neck. He leaned forward, squeezing her harder with his thighs, the heat of his chest suddenly scorching along her spine.
"This is one way to wish me a happy birthday."
He was using that teasing voice he sometimes goaded her with, the tone that implied she was too innocent to understand that he was flirting with her.
"Your birthday was almost 2 weeks ago,"
she shot back, pretending to be immune to him, even though she had gone cold and stiff with shock, and he could definitely feel it.
"And I already gave you a present."
"You gave me a heart attack,"
he countered.
"Do you often expose people to their phobias and call it a gift? Who the hell taught you how to be a Sigma? You're doing it so wrong."
He was obviously still teasing her, but that hit a little too close to home, and she flinched. Theodore rounded the counter and inserted his hands under her arms. He lifted her clear of Ashford, setting her gently on her feet.
"Can you loop the cameras?"
he asked over her shoulder, as his hand slid down to hers, his fingers pushing between hers before clasping her tightly and using the hold to pull her against his side.
"Already did,"
Reed answered.
"You've got about a minute." "Good."
Theodore pulled her toward the stairs.
"We just need to get you at the front of the dorm, and you can tell the officials you teleported to the trail again. It's lucky you died in one of the blind spots. Makes this easy."
"Yeah," she drawled. "Super lucky."
He turned as he reached the front door, pushing it open as he smirked at her.
"You're not going to come and hang out with me, are you?"
"I might,"
she hedged, slipping past him to get outside. His eyes seemed to darken as she brushed against his chest, but the front of the dorm wasn't well lit, so it was hard to tell.
"See you later."
He only hummed in response, the deep sound chasing her as she hurried toward the lake. She had probably beaten Eve to the party, so she pushed through the students that were laughing, jumping, and dancing as she tried to find Wallace. Someone had set up speakers around the corners of the lake, the music bouncing across the water, amplified so loudly it actually hurt her ears. There were also a few tables with ice-filled wooden buckets lining the surface, bottles nestled inside with mountains of paper cups a jostle away from toppling onto the ground. The tables were tucked up against the outside of Dorm A, right by the window looking into the living room, though heavy, dark curtains had been pulled across the glass. It was just out of sight of the cameras, so there would be no footage of what people poured into their cups. When she tumbled out of the fray of people that she belatedly realized were all crowded into a designated dance area, ringed by sparkling red lanterns, she found that there was a piece of paper in her hand. Frowning, she glanced back to the tightly pressed mesh of people, but nobody was staring back at her. She unfolded the note, brow furrowing. "You have the blood, you have the guts, but do you have any skin in the game? Need some help with that."
"Hey!"
she shouted over the music, causing a few people to glance over. She waved the note above her head.
"Who slipped me this?"
They might as well have looked straight through her, and nobody answered.
She folded the note up with a scowl, slipping it into the pocket of her dress as she moved toward a section of the lake that didn't seem as busy, though it quickly became apparent why.
"You really thought that was going to get their attention?"
Moses scoffed, shaking his head at her. He and Sato were both seated on a picnic table facing out over Alpha Hill, though they had been turned toward the dance area. Behind them, she could see Killian heading their way. There were a gaggle of first-years following him with their phones clutched to their chests, like they wanted to take pictures with him. Theodore met Killian halfway, and they stopped to talk to each other, both of them glancing over at Moses and Sato with frowns on their faces, before including her in their assessment. Killian jerked his head, probably telling her to get away from the table. She glanced away, back to the broody alphas before her.
"What does it say, little rabbit?"
Sato tilted his chin toward her pocket. The question was almost friendly. "Some nonsense." She folded her arms. "Anyway, I'm here. How do you want me to get Wallace's phone?" Sato smirked.
"You're here."
He shared a look with Moses, who rolled his eyes.
"She's here," Moses agreed. "Do you want a reward?"
Sato purred.
"I've got one in my pants for you."
"Okay, that's disgusting."
Moses suddenly turned on Sato.
"The fuck is wrong with you? She's basically my sister-in-law at this point."
Sato tossed his head back and laughed, drawing far more looks than Isabel's shout had. He looked kind of beautiful. Like a demon led into the light and offered wings for a single flight. Until he stopped, and the fantasy crashed down to the ground. He pulled a carrot out of his pocket, waving it at her.
"If you want your reward, you have to do the task," he said silkily.
Why the heck did he have a carrot in his pocket? She turned her back on them, her eyes darting around for somewhere to escape to before landing on the drinks table. She hurried over to it, pouring some juice into a cup just for something to do. Theodore and Killian seemed to relax now that she wasn't talking to Moses and Sato. They were slowly wandering over to a circle of wooden beach chairs set up around the fire pit. Wallace, Ellis, and James were there, talking to the same group of first years that had been trailing Killian. They were taking photos with the beta girls, but Ellis scattered them before Killian and Theodore stepped back into the circle. Isabel tightened her grip on the plastic cup, her attention wandering back to Sato. He was regarding her coolly, giving her his full attention like the only reason he decided to come down to the party and pretend to be normal was to watch her squirm through the task he had demanded of her. Moses was watching too, but he didn't look half as pleased. He looked exhausted, actually. She frowned, shoving away the sense of empathy that crept up on her. He stared back, bored, an eyebrow cocked. She couldn't believe he was her first kiss. What the actual hell? A small, hard smile twitched over Sato's lips, like he could read her mind, and she quickly spun around, groping blindly for one of the bottles of alcohol. Whatever it was, she doused her juice in it before steeling her spine and heading over toward Wallace.
"Puppy."
Spade appeared at her side, Reed hemming her in on the other side. She didn't pause, and they kept pace with her.
"Yes,"
she finally sighed out when he didn't say anything else.
"What is Oscar making you do?"
"What's it to you?"
she grumbled, annoyed they were so perceptive.
"Either it's good enough to drag them down here into the middle of a party, or you're good enough. We'd like to know which."
"It's me."
She gritted her teeth, flashing him a tight smile.
"Do you believe me?"
He looked amused.
"I guess you don't need our help then,"
Reed said casually. She slowed her pace, and they slowed with her.
"You'd help?"
she asked, her tone thick with suspicion. He shrugged, his oversized shirt shifting. Even now, they were still dressed like they were on their way to dance practice.
"Never know until you ask."
"I have to get Wallace's phone."
She stopped walking completely, still far enough away that the group of people around the fire pit wouldn't be able to hear her.
"And what will you be doing with it?"
Spade asked.
"Giving it to Sato?"
"For what purpose?"
Reed, this time.
"I don't know.
I'm sure if you stand somewhere in his vicinity, you'll figure out just by looking at his face, or whatever it is you two do to know everything all the time.
It's called perception,
Spade said dismissively.
So that's it?
No. After Sato is done with it, I have to return it.
And what are you willing to do in return for our help?
Hmm? Reed stepped in front of her, blocking her view of the fire pit, his cold eyes switching between hers in an examination of some kind.
Will you trade a favor to Sato for a favor to us?
A special Reed test this time. She should obviously switch out Sato for them. People weren't mortally terrified of them. People didn't warn her about them. Their own friends didn't warn her about them. The only problem was, what if that wasn't the right answer?
No thanks.
Elijah stepped out of her way, notching his shoulder against Gabriel's as the Sigma walked away from them, a little flounce in her step.
Good puppy,
Gabriel muttered, his eyes boring into the back of her head. Elijah smirked.
For now, we have time to corrupt her. Not that we're interested in that, Gabriel said tonelessly, still watching her.
Not at all,
Elijah agreed. They both moved to catch up, reclaiming their previous seats.
Alice must have fished a set of balls out of the lake because she somehow thought it would be a brilliant idea to perch on his lap. She took one of the cups of beer he had set down by the leg of his chair, knocking it against his.
Cheers, babe!
She flicked her eyes over his shoulder like she was reminding him that other students were close enough to hear them.
That's not for you.
He reclaimed the beer before she could put her lips on it, returning it to the base of his chair. But he didn't kick her off his lap. There were too many people for that. He heard a quiet sound beside him and turned in time to see James perch on Gabriel's knee. The two beta girls must have come up with their plan together. Gabriel's jaw flexed, his eyes narrowing as he lifted his arms away from the chair. As a dancer, he had trained himself to withstand physical touch, but only when he expected it. When it came as a surprise, it was a major trigger for him. Elijah calculated that he probably had 15 seconds to remedy the situation before Gabriel had a meltdown on camera.
Spin the bottle,
he announced, standing and riding Ellis before she fell flat on her face. He grabbed James's arm, hauling her upright and pulling her a few feet away from Gabriel.
Everyone find your own seats.
He shook his head as the circle filled up with girls faster than he could even finish the sentence.
It has to be boy-girl,
one of them complained, edging back to make the circle larger. Gabriel stood, pushing his chair back. He brushed off his clothes like he was trying to shake invisible dust away, and then shoved his hands into his pockets, probably surreptitiously tapping against his leg in a comforting pattern through his pocket. Elijah also moved his chair back, notching it up against Spade's before tipping his beer to his lips, draining it quickly. He picked up an empty soda bottle and tossed it to Killian, who positioned it on the side of the fire pit, and then he hunted down the Sigma. She was trying to escape the circle while stealing glances at Wallace. He took her by the shoulders, steering her to his chair. She went, willingly enough, casting him only a little bit of side-eye. Gabriel was right about the puppy thing. He turned her, and she let him. His hands crept around her hips. She let him do that, too, though her mouth pinched into a firm line. He hoisted her up, sitting her on the arms of his and Gabriel's chairs, before falling back into his seat. Gabriel did the same, folding his arms tightly across his chest and edging toward Carter like she could shield him from the touch of everyone else. He definitely didn't realize he was doing it, or he would have probably stormed off to join Oscar and Moses. Except that was no longer an option, as Moses was dragging a fold-up chair over to their circle. Students edged away, some of their laughter dying off. The circle was almost completely silent by the time Oscar joined.
What are we playing?
Oscar drawled, and several people flinched at his gravelly voice. And then Nico and Ashford appeared, carrying fold-up chairs of their own. More students scattered, making room for them, though several girls immediately crowded back in as soon as they were seated. "Anyone else want a seat?" Theodore spoke up, looking considerably more upbeat now that he wasn't forced to house Wallace on his lap. Only the Alphas had actual chairs. Everyone else was sitting on the ground, except Carter. She was perched between him and Gabriel, like she was their little Sigma princess. The notion was almost absurd enough to make him laugh out loud.
"No?"
Theodore glanced around, pretending to be oblivious to the way all the girls were going absolutely mental over his sweet, thoughtful expression.
"What a tosser."
Theodore caught Elijah's eye, saw the annoyance there, and winked before stepping forward to spin the bottle. Chapter 9. Hypocrite. Isabel felt weird. Not weird from the alcohol or from the game that was about to unfold in front of her. Not weird because all the Alphas were glaring at Sato like he was about to do something evil. Not weird because she had just spotted Bellamy sitting beside Wallace, laughing casually with the girl on his other side. She felt really weird. The hair on the back of her neck stood on end, and her fingers tingled. Her skin was extra sensitive. Even the slight breeze that managed to permeate the tight throng of students was like sandpaper against her skin. Theodore touched the bottle, winking at Reed as he spun it, and she jumped up to stop him because she knew. She knew it was going to land on her. Ashford stood with her, snatching up the bottle before it could stop spinning.
"It should be ladies first," he scolded, tossing the bottle in his hands a few times. "So, who wants it?"
James jumped up, rushing over to seize the opportunity. Isabel sat back down shakily, her eyes hypnotized by the spinning bottle. And then the feeling came again, stronger this time, except she had no idea what it was supposed to mean. Sato started laughing before the bottle stopped, like he, too, was being swamped with sudden feelings of dreadful premonition. But he was delighted by them. The bottle landed on Theodore. Moses chuckled. The rest of the students all gasped, holding their breath for a reaction from Theodore, who was glaring at Sato. Because that made sense. James looked a little too pleased as she approached Theodore, considering she was supposed to be pretending to be Spade's girlfriend. She planted her hands on the arms of his chair, bending down like she was posing for a photo as she tried to plant her lips on his. He turned his head at the last second, letting her kiss his cheek before he grabbed her arms and gently set her backwards. He waved off the disappointed sounds of the onlookers as he spun the bottle again.
"That's my friend's girlfriend, people,"
he laughed, standing by and waiting for the bottle to stop. Isabel's hands were twisted so hard in her lap, her nails were starting to dig in. She had that feeling again, but this time she ignored it. She wasn't like Ashford. She was just letting her anxiety get the better of her. She worked on extracting her nails from her skin, and was so focused on persuading herself to ignore the feeling that she almost missed it when the bottle stopped. On her. Just like she thought it would. No, knew it would. Theodore turned to her, dramatically surprised, sharing looks with all the gasping students who were whipping out their phones. He was playing to the crowd, being the perfect icon in training.
"Now that one has a mate,"
he tutted, wagging his finger at some of the girls giggling behind their phones.
"So obviously,
I can't let you all watch this."
Cue the shocked laughter, the cheers, the mad rush of whispering, Theodore disappeared from the circle and came back with a beach umbrella that must have been stuck into one of the picnic tables. The laughter and cheering increased in volume, and everyone was in such a frenzy that they didn't even notice several of the alphas jumping to their feet, like they were about to interfere, all while still shooting glares at Sato, which still made about as much sense as it had a minute ago. Theodore stopped before her, reaching around her to set the stem of the umbrella against the armrests behind her, and then he slowly pulled the canopy down, enclosing them while the students howled and jostled, trying to get close enough to see something. And then suddenly, it was just him. Theodore Kane. Perfect and stormy-eyed, frowning and breathing heavily, like the umbrella had weighed a ton. His smell enveloped her, his heat creeping over her skin, his hair brushing her forehead. She couldn't draw in air, couldn't breathe, couldn't admit in a million years that she would have traded a million moments for just this one. She just couldn't. She had a mate. A mate who she belonged to. Like a fucking goat. She swayed forward, kissing him suddenly, her lips touching lightly to his. She only intended it to be a quick brush, a secret little fuck you to what had become of her future. But as soon as she began to retreat, he chased her. He kissed her hard enough to halt her movement, both of them freezing for a second, his breath a hard rasp against her lips as he released her. He seemed to be in shock, his expression shattered, his eyes burning. His amenable social mask had completely collapsed, his gaze shuddering as defeat painted his features, and he took her lips again. The guilt passing insistently from his chest to hers barely even permeated her mind, which seemed to be completely drugged by the vicious kiss. It wasn't soft and sweet, or gentle and slow. He kissed her fast and hard, like a part of his brain was screaming at him to stop and his body was doubling down on the decision to fuck his brain. It was like he was trying to stamp himself against her mouth so that she would taste him for the rest of the night, so that she would still feel his lips when she closed her eyes to go to sleep, so that she might never forget as long as she fucking lived. A touch landed over her thigh, firm and insistent, but it didn't belong to Theodore, who still held the umbrella stand behind her back. It was enough to ease her back, eyes wide. Theodore sucked in air on a surprised breath, gaining some space himself, his eyes heavy as he stared at her mouth. He ran his tongue between his lips, nostrils flaring, eyes glittering so dark they were almost black, his pupils blown out. The pale gold hand on her leg was familiar, long graceful fingers that she had seen on the piano keys. Read. He squeezed her gently, and she eased back another inch. Theodore looked relieved and pissed. But she wasn't sure who he was so angry at. He lifted up suddenly, opening the umbrella, and the touch disappeared from her leg in the blink of an eye. Theodore slid back into easy showmanship like nothing at all had happened, taking the umbrella back to his seat, just in case, and wiggling his brows at James, like he was inviting her to give him another shot. Slowly, the eyes turned back to Isabel. Waiting. She swallowed, slipping off her perch and approaching the bottle, trying to hide the tremble in her legs and hands. It was so quiet. Nobody really believed that Theodore had kissed her, or would kiss her. You didn't mess with mates. Some of the students were looking warily at the bottle, like they couldn't decide if they wanted it to land on them or not. On one hand, it would be a guaranteed highlight if she actually kissed someone. On the other hand, if her mate turned up anytime soon, whoever had decided to disrespect her bond would probably be completely trashed online. Isabel right alongside them. She sucked in a breath, positioning the bottle in the hopes that it landed somewhere near Wallace, even though a darkly amused Sato was on one side and a smirking Bellamy was on the other. But the position felt off. She adjusted it again, and then again, until the ache in her chest eased.
"Just spin it, Sigma," someone shouted. "Stop teasing."
She flicked it into a spin, stepping back and then back further. The ache didn't spring back up inside her chest, but another feeling took its place, sinking into the pit of her stomach. It was almost like someone had cast a curse over them all, aiming for maximum impact whenever anyone stepped forward to spin the bottle. The tip wavered, resting just before Wallace, stopping at Sato. His dark eyes narrowed, all traces of amusement suddenly wiped from his expression. She waited, hoping he would just storm off and then she could kiss Wallace instead, while surreptitiously stealing her phone. But Sato only shifted his hips forward, getting more comfortable in his chair.
"Come on then, rabbit."
That word. Rabbit. It echoed around them, passed from mouth to mouth like a rebounding whisper against narrow walls, tinged by confusion and astonishment. It was like he had known all along this would happen, like he had single-handedly orchestrated this exact situation when he told her to steal Wallace's phone. But that was completely impossible. Unless he was working with Ashford. She glanced at the dusky-skinned Alpha, only to find him agitatedly twisting his tangled hair into a bun, his mouth etched into a deeply disturbed frown.
"Okay, no help from him, then."
She walked over to Sato with that sinking feeling in her stomach getting even heavier. His legs were spread enough for her to step between them, but she didn't. She stopped at his knees, gulping. His fingers lifted from where they had been resting against his thigh, tangling with the hem of her dress. He didn't exactly tug, just rubbed the material between his thumb and forefinger, his influence steadily wrapping around her. It was some combination of the heavy, dark look in his eye and the cloying, dangerous scent that clogged her throat. It didn't scream of danger. It screamed at her to step closer. It wasn't until she shifted between his knees that the saccharine thickness in her throat began to burn. But it didn't seem to be enough for him. He tugged lightly on her dress until her legs hit the edge of his seat, and then he released her, his hand falling back to his thigh. He still hadn't made any movement to lean forward or sit up properly, and it didn't look like he was going to. She pulled in a deep breath, closing her eyes for a moment to steel herself.
"I'd be terrified, too," someone whispered, close enough for Isabel to hear them.
She opened her eyes again. He was too freaking far away, relaxing back into the chair. She would have to copy the pose James had used on Theodore. That thought made her sick, and she didn't particularly want to examine why. But the other option was to sit on Sato's lap, and that made her sick with fear.
"Just get it over with,"
a voice inside her screamed. So she turned and perched on his thigh.
"No way did she just do that,"
someone exclaimed, not even trying to be quiet.
"Is she insane?
Is she actually going to kiss him?
Is he actually going to let her?
It's not like anyone is going to punish him for it. It's Sato."
That half-smile twitched across Sato's lips before disappearing again, and he cocked a brow at her.
"That's right."
He spoke in his normal, gravelly tone, apparently uncaring who overheard him.
"Don't try faking me out, Sigma. I'm the last person to care about your mate.
Wallace was just out of reach, but thankfully, she had pulled her phone up and was already snapping pictures, so it was easy for Isabel to reach over and pinch it between her fingers.
That's too close, Isabel said. Are you trying to get a photo or get inside our mouths?
Wallace only rolled her eyes, looking a little annoyed as she folded her arms across her chest. Thankfully, she didn't demand her phone back just yet.
You wish,
Wallace muttered beneath her breath. Isabel shifted closer to Sato, ignoring the look in his eyes and the firmness of his body, because as relaxed as he looked, he was actually coiled like a snake, every muscle tensed, making his whole body as hard as a rock. She planted her hand on his shoulder and suddenly shifted her weight, drawing her knees to the chair either side of his thighs. His other brow jumped up, his cocky expression giving way to veiled surprise.
Rock, paper, scissors?
She suggested, casually dropping the phone onto his lap.
If I win, you back out of the game. If you win, I'll back out of the game.
His arm wound around her back, lifting her and dragging her closer, his other hand transferring the phone from his lap to his pocket, using her body as a shield to hide what he was doing. The dress Killian had bought her was already short, the material thin, ruffled like silk. So when he dragged her forward, the skirt rode up her thighs. And then Nico surprised her, his voice ringing clearly across the circle.
It's just a game, Carter. Back out anytime you want. Have you been paying attention?
Sato asked, his eyes drilling into hers.
The Sigma doesn't back out. Maybe she should,
Nico returned calmly.
Maybe nobody taught her how to.
Isabel blinked like she had been dragged out of a sudden haze. The adrenaline of the competition Sato had created between them dissolving as Nico successfully encouraged a very different memory to the front of her brain.
Crow.
She flinched, her body tightening, but Sato acted before she could withdraw. He stood, planting her on her feet, and then grabbed her wrist.
It's going to storm,
he announced, not even glancing up at the sky.
Better head home, kiddos.
He squeezed her wrist once and then released it, his eyes settling on her briefly.
Go thank your knight in shining armor, Carter.
He stalked off, and she turned her eyes to the sky, frowning. How did he know? She didn't get a chance to thank Nico, because he was already striding after Sato. Ashford followed, looking pissed as all hell. Reed and Spade were having a silent conversation as they also followed, their bodies tense. Theodore was rubbing his hands over his face, muttering something about the storm to the people trying to get his attention. Killian was sitting in his seat, frowning after Sato, but he didn't get up. Isabel spotted Eve trying to make her way through the crowd and started toward her, but someone stepped into her path.
Honestly,
Bellamy looked impressed.
How do you do it?
Honestly?
She tried to sidestep him.
Don't talk to me.
He reached for her arm, and she violently pulled it away, taking several steps back. He sighed, shaking his head.
Look, whatever you think I didn't do it. I think you drugged me.
I didn't,
he said immediately.
I think you left me for...
what?
She narrowed her eyes on his face and then looked down at his chest, cracking open her wall just enough to taste any bad emotions that might have been waiting on the other side. What she felt surprised her. It wasn't guilt or regret or even nothing at all to indicate he was pleased with what he had done. It was fear. Fear that he would be caught?
I was drugged.
She insisted.
Not by drugs,
he whispered back, before sucking in a breath and backing away from her like he had just said something he regretted.
Look, never mind. But I had nothing to do with it, okay?
Eve popped up just as he pushed away, disappearing into a group of second-year betas.
Are we really breaking up the party just because Sato...
She started, before blinking up at the sky. Raindrops were falling, sudden and heavy.
I guess so,
Isabel answered the unfinished question.
But I have to finish something. See you back at the dorm.
Okay, find me later, though.
Eve hurried off as the wind picked up, scattering the students like leaves. They must have all been a little on edge after the last storm ripped through the mountain behind Dorm A. Wallace was making her way over, probably to ask for her phone back. Isabel quickly took off after Sato, hesitating outside the dorm before glancing over her shoulder and pushing inside. Of course there was a professor standing on the other side.
I meant to knock,
she lied, stopping short before she collided with Easton. He was frowning down at her, his scars made deeper by the shadows cloaking the room. Why wouldn't they turn any lights on? Probably so that partygoers wouldn't get the insane idea that they were welcome inside.
You should go home, he suggested. This storm is going to get worse.
She nodded, shifting nervously from foot to foot. If she claimed that she was running after Sato, he wouldn't believe her. People didn't run toward Sato. Easton's frown furrowed deeper, his annoyance battering against her chest. He stuck his hands into his pockets, his head tilting to the side.
It isn't a good time,
he sighed, like he didn't really want to deal with her.
The guys are going to be busy for a while. I'm free as a bird,
Killian's silky voice declared, his hands landing over her shoulders. She glanced back to see that he, Theodore, and Wallace had just entered the dorm. Killian spun her around, and she knew they were about to ask for Wallace's phone so that they could send the other girl home, so she blurted the first thing that popped into her head.
Let's keep the party going.
What the fuck was she doing?
You want to keep the party going, right?
She turned to Wallace. Theodore's eyes narrowed, a tinge of his frustration knocking against her chest. The poor guy had probably been manhandled all night and wanted to escape.
Sure.
Wallace squinted at Isabel like she didn't understand what her game was.
I'll stop the other girls from leaving.
She slipped back out into the rain, and Isabel found herself stuck between Killian, Easton, and Theodore. None of them looked particularly happy.
I had no choice,
she groaned. Killian's grip on her shoulders softened, and he eased his expression into a gentle smile.
Oscar isn't done playing yet, he guessed.
She shook her head miserably. Theodore's frown darkened, and his eyes flicked up over her head, probably focusing on Easton.
Where is he? Rooftop,
Easton grunted.
Sort this shit out before the storm gets worse. I mean it.
He stalked off, disappearing into the room closest to the entryway a few seconds before Wallace, Ellis, and James poured back into the dorm, lowering their arms from the hair and makeup they had tried to save from the rain.
Can we?
Isabel started to hurriedly whisper to Killian, who grabbed her hand and pulled her toward the staircase before she could even finish the question.
We'll be on the rooftop,
he shot over his shoulder. The others followed almost immediately, but Killian pulled her fast enough that they still reached the rooftop with a few moments to spare. Sato was sitting at the kitchen island going through Wallace's phone while the rest of the Alphas crowded around him, speaking lowly and furiously. The rain was pounding down hard, so she didn't catch anything they were saying. Before she could even warn Sato, the phone did a disappearing act, and the others reached the top of the stairs.
We're continuing the party,
Theodore announced. He didn't exactly sound thrilled.
Help me bring the drinks in.
He didn't issue the order to anyone in particular, but Nico and Ashford followed him back down the stairs while James and Ellis hovered around Wallace. They didn't look like they wanted to be there anymore, and they kept shooting their attention between each of the tense alphas and the staircase. Isabel was at a complete loss. She wanted to make them feel more comfortable, but this wasn't her dorm. Thankfully, Reed got off his stool, wordlessly offering it up. Sato and Moses also got up, preferring to huddle in the corner of the kitchen, hoisting themselves to sit up on the counters. Sato stretched out a long leg, planting his boot on the edge of the kitchen island before digging into his pocket and fiddling with a phone in his lap. Due to his positioning, it was impossible to tell whose phone it was. Moses leaned over, pointing out a few things on the screen and muttering low in Sato's ear.
"What kind of game do you want to play?"
Killian asked, notching his chin onto the top of her head, his arms wrapping around the front of her chest, pulling her back against his hard body. Wallace took Reed's vacated stool, eyeing Isabel and Killian like a puzzle she didn't particularly understand, while Ellis and James just looked like they had a front-row seat to heaven, as though witnessing Killian give anyone affection caused them ecstasy. But they only had a front-row seat. They weren't actually in heaven, and the frustration and bitterness behind the fascination was clear to see. Isabel couldn't even blame them. Killian's bergamot and bark scent wrapped all the way around her, his thumbs brushing against her shoulders, his warm body lulling her somehow. She sank against him, and his hug tightened. She tried to distract herself by thinking of all the party games she had seen play out on the Ironside show over the years. "Clothesline," she blurted, naming the last game she remembered seeing because it got a lot of attention on the website.
"Clothesline?" Ellis asked, looking confused. "The game where you divide into two teams and stand in a line."
Wallace craned her neck, looking around the kitchen for a suitable space as she explained.
"Then the person at the front of the line takes off an item of clothing, puts it on the ground, and goes to the back of the line. You keep going until someone forfeits, and then the other team wins."
Isabel had gone stiff with regret, and Killian was laughing softly against the top of her head. But she forced the regret down. Her father wanted her to make shit happen, and nothing would guarantee her a highlight like a bunch of alphas removing their clothes. Theodore passed her and Killian with one of the wooden buckets of drinks from outside.
"Well, we can't do girls versus boys," he noted, obviously having heard Wallace's explanation. "That would be a quick victory."
Nico and Ashford carried the other buckets, dumping them onto the table before they started pouring out drinks into the paper cups.
"Not much room up here, though."
Isabel spoke to the ground. She was terrible at being devious.
"We should go downstairs."
"Where there are cameras."
"Oh, should we?"
Killian chuckled. Wallace, Ellis, and James all looked up with bright, excited eyes. Despite being labeled as the official girlfriends of three of the alphas, they still hadn't been given much screen time. Maybe the officials knew more than they let on. That was a terrifying thought.
"Let's go, then."
Theodore had two cups, and he lifted one of them to Isabel as he passed, as though to let her know it was hers. Killian released her to pour himself a drink, and she hung back as everyone else walked downstairs, blowing out a tense breath when it was just her, Sato, and Moses left in the kitchen. They didn't even look up. She walked over to them, moving between the counter and the island until she stood on the outside of Sato's lifted leg.
"What are you doing with the phone?"
Moses jumped off the counter, staring her down.
"Only what she deserves," he stated coldly.
"Just for breaking into Sato's room?"
she asked, her brows flinching into a confused frown.
"Just?"
Moses laughed darkly, and Sato dropped his leg, the only barrier between her and Moses. Moses stalked forward, stopping an inch from her, his eyes darkening with anger.
"What if the roles were reversed, Sigma? What if a guy had broken into her room? What if she had woken up with him on top of her, groping her, grinding on her, trying to force her to fuck him?
You should report her.
Isabel shrank back, regretting the questions already. She couldn't even look at Sato.
Or...
She took another shaky step back.
I don't know.
She suddenly wanted to throw up. Just because Sato was a strong, terrifying alpha, it didn't make everyone's actions against him harmless. She knew that, but her fear of Sato had temporarily overridden her sense.
Or what?
Moses stepped to the side, blocking her view of Sato, even though she hadn't been trying to look at him.
Have you tried reporting injustices here at Ironside, Sigma? Do you think they only ignore you? Could you possibly be that self-centered?
Fuck off!
She shot back, earning a dark chuckle from behind Moses's back.
What would you do?
Moses pressed, closing the distance between them again.
If it was Theodore she had assaulted, tell me.
Alpha voice. She answered without thinking. Ruin her. Theodore was precious. Moses narrowed his eyes, the storm in them churning.
Prove it. Consider this my initiation.
Sato slid off the counter, appearing beside Moses. He held out Wallace's phone, his dark eyes unreadable.
What did you do?
Isabel asked, staring at the phone instead of taking it. Sato gripped the strap of the tiny handbag she had been wearing across her body, dragging her against him as he unzipped the bag and wedged the phone inside.
I took control of her life.
He spoke in a low, warning tone.
I could destroy her now, but I think I'll let you do it instead. In your own way, of course.
I'm not that kind of person.
She folded her arms tightly.
Bullshit,
Sato growled.
I'm a Sigma,
she shot back.
You're asking me to go against my genetic fucking makeup.
Moses smirked at her.
Yeah, you're a Sigma. You always do what you're told, don't you?
She didn't answer.
You never fight back?
Moses continued.
You're completely and utterly subservient? Why don't you kneel right now? Why aren't you curled up at our feet like a good little Sigma pet? Crack.
She wasn't sure what happened. Just that her hand stung, her mind was full of noise that sounded like rage, and Moses's lip was split, blood staining the teeth he flashed in a sudden, surprised smile. Sato was laughing, a glittering light sparking to life in his eyes. Moses licked at the blood on his lip before crowding her against the counter.
You're a fucking hypocrite, Carter,
he seethed, low and raspy. But there was a change in his expression. It was the clearest she had ever seen the storm in his eyes. They flicked between her own eyes and then down to her mouth as he licked his lip again. It was like he was searching for more of whatever she had just done to him. Another taste of her violence.
You are the one who acts like Sigmas are weak and pathetic, not us. We think Sigmas are the strongest of us all, and we know what's inside you.
His hand was suddenly right in the middle of her chest, pressing up against her ribcage with his palm as he forced her to bend slightly over the island behind her.
Such pretty darkness and nowhere to wear it, right? Your choice,
Sato suggested mildly, leaving the rooftop. His voice lingered behind like a haunting echo.
This is it,
Moses added quietly, still pressing her in place.
Tonight is all you have. Embrace your darkness, or you're out before you even get in.
Chapter 10. Hardly Professional. She barely had a chance to absorb what had happened before her phone started vibrating. She pulled it out to check the messages. Unknown. I know you lied, Sigma. Unknown. And I know what you lied about. The next message was a screenshot of a picture, taken from the top of Alpha Hill, showing the timestamp of when the picture was taken. It was her and Ashford walking into the dorm after their confrontation on the library rooftop. She frowned, her fingers itching to respond, to demand who was messaging her. But then a video came through, and she clicked on it. Whoever was taking the video was pressed up against the outside of Dorm A, the camera angled to the clear sky, capturing faint shouts from the rooftop above. The sounds of commotion continued, glass shattering and heavy things being tossed around. And still, clear skies. The person behind the camera suddenly moved away from the dorm, the ground jolting back and forth as they ran away. But then they stopped and pulled the view back up, focusing on the dorm again. On the window into the lounge, specifically, where they must have spotted movement. Killian was there, a limp body in his arms. Petite, pale limbs, tousled blonde hair. It was her. He cradled her close to his chest, her face resting in the crook of his neck, and then he lowered her to the couch set against the window. The other alphas were there, too. Moses, Ashford, Sato, Reed, Spade, even West. They were all gathering in the room. The camera switched up to the rooftop, too far away to hear the commotion any longer, but long enough to show the clear sky. Isabel's breath caught in her throat as she leaned against the counter, gripping her phone even harder. The video dragged on, with no real focus except for the faint breathing of whoever was filming, until Easton suddenly appeared at the window. He was too far away to see for certain, but it looked like he was covered in smudges of blood. He raised his hand to the glass and seemed to have his head tilted up to the sky. The camera also tilted back up to the sky, watching as dark clouds gathered before falling back to Easton. The sudden sound of thunder rumbled through the phone speakers, and then the video ended. Her heart was beating fast enough to make her dizzy, but another screenshot was already coming through. It was a picture of her leaving Dorm A in pristine, freshly washed clothes before she climbed the fire trail to where she had pretended to die. Because it was a screenshot, she could see the time and date stamp at the top. Unknown. One of the alphas has an illegal ability, and you lied to protect them. But how far are you willing to go? Unknown. Tell them anything about these messages, and I'll release everything. This is between you and me. Our own private game. The sender was right. She had lied to protect an alpha with an illegal ability, but they were wrong about which one. It turned out Moses and Theodore weren't the only ones. A sudden crack of lightning fissured across the rooftop, making her jump and scurry toward the stairs, her heartbeat pounding somewhere in the back of her throat. Had Easton created this storm, too? And why? It was Sato who had ended their game, claiming there would be a storm. And then he had stalked inside, where Easton was standing right in the entryway. And then the rain started. She made her way to the common room on shaky legs, her phone burning a hole in her pocket. Finally, James grumbled, giving her a bit of side eye. They look like they want to kick us out.
You're on my team, baby.
Killian waved her over, and even with the panic and trepidation tripping through her system, she still wanted to laugh at the two teams that had formed. Sato, Moses, Ashford, Spade, Reed, and Nico were gathered on one side of the room, drinking and looking generally disinterested, while Theodore, Killian, and the three girls were on the other side, looking like their patience was wearing down to nothing. Theodore wedged a cup into her hand as she joined them.
We can't lose,
he told her. It's up to you, me, and him.
He jerked his chin at Killian.
What about us?
Wallace asked, sounding a bit miffed, though she still kept her tone within the appropriate alpha worship range.
You're barely wearing anything,
Theodore commented, tipping his beard to his lips as his eyes scanned the other side of the room.
I'm wearing less,
Isabel pointed out, playing with the hem of her dress. The other girls had on skirts and tops.
You have something else,
Killian whispered in her ear, when Theodore pretended he hadn't heard her. She turned slightly, giving him an inquisitive look over her shoulder.
Trust me.
His lips quirked.
They'll stop the game before you do. You first.
Theodore grumbled at Moses, who headed the other line forming, before he cut a quick look to her and Killian.
Since you have the advantage.
The advantage was probably the extra layers of clothing the guys seemed to be wearing. Moses smirked, kicking off a shoe and picking it up to take with him to the back of the line, where he placed it on the ground. Theodore did the same thing, and the rest of them followed. One shoe, and then the other. The clothes line growing longer and longer. When the guys moved onto their socks, Isabel found herself at a disadvantage. She was the only one who was wearing sandals. She slipped the hair tie from her hair,